Hi, and welcome to the Writing and Marketing Show, brought to you by author Wendy H. Jones. This show does exactly what it says on the tin. It's jam-packed with interviews, advice, hints, tips, and news to help you with the business of writing. It's all wrapped up in one lively podcast, so it's time to get on with the show. And welcome to episode 74 of the Writing and Marketing Show with author, entrepreneur, Wendy H. Jones. Today, I'm going to be talking about the nuts and bolts of researching your novel. Now, this is in the sense of doing it in a physical sense, not just on the internet and visiting places. And you're probably wondering why I'm focusing on this, because it seems a little strange, really, to be focusing on that. But it's more tricky than you think at the moment, and you'll find out why I think so in a moment, and why I know so, actually, because I've just spent a week in Edinburgh doing some research for one of my novels on Thomas Graham, and the doing it and sorting it out and actually doing the research was a lot more tricky than you will think because of COVID. But we'll get into that in a moment. So before I start, I would like to say it's an absolute pleasure to bring you this show every week. And I do so willingly and happily, and I love doing it. And I meet such nice people as well when I interview people. But it does take time out of my writing life, and if you would like to support that time, you can do so for just $3 a month, and it's as little as $3 a month through patreon.com/WendyHJones, and that would be helpful. It would let me know that you're enjoying the show. It would let me know that you want me to continue doing the show, and it would also help to support what I'm doing, and I would be very grateful. So let's get on to talking about the nuts and bolts of research. So now that we've said that, let's get on with the show and talk about the nuts and bolts of researching your novel. Well, as I say, last week I went to Edinburgh for 4 days and I did some research. Now, it's not as easy as it used to be. Before, you could just leap on a train, go through to Edinburgh, or a bus, go through to Edinburgh, and you could tip up at wherever it was you wanted to do your research, and you could usually get in and you were able to just do your research. It's now like mounting a military campaign, let me tell you. So in order for me to do 4 days at in Edinburgh, I needed to book 5 things. And these were, first of all, the National Library of Scotland. Secondly, it was the Surgeons Hall Museum in Edinburgh. And thirdly, it was the Scottish National Portrait Gallery in Edinburgh. So that was 3 places I wanted to visit. But I also had to sort out hotel accommodation while I was in Edinburgh. And I had to sort out either a train or a bus to get through. So that was 5 things I had to do. And I had to coordinate the dates, because the big issue now is you have to book everything in advance. You cannot just tip up. So everything has to be booked in advance. And so you have to make sure that there are spaces available in all the places you want to visit. So I had 5 browsers open on my computer, and one for each of those parts of the jigsaw, really. And then I worked out whether there was a slot available on the different days for all of them. So I was then able to book all 5 parts of my trip. So as I say, it was a bit like mounting a military campaign. Then you have to take into consideration things like for the National Library of Scotland, I actually had to not only book a table, but I had to book the books that I wanted to research while I was there. And it can take 48 hours for those to actually arrive at the desk that you are at. So you need to coordinate that as well and make sure that the books are, you've given plenty of time. So I would say at least 3 days, 72 hours, to allow time for the books to get there. But also you need to remember that they're not going to be fishing around for books at the weekend. So you, again, need to add the weekends into it. So all these things need to be thought about very carefully. So I managed to book everything. And as you can imagine, you need to be places on time these days. And you need to make sure that you tip up on time for your actual slot. So once you've coordinated everything, which isn't as easy as you think, but is still worth it, then you get through to Edinburgh. And as I say, you need to arrive on time for the different things. Now, there are other things that need to be taken into consideration for the National Library of Scotland in particular. So the National Library of Scotland, first of all, as I say, you need to book in advance. Now, the other thing you need to take into consideration is you're literally only allowed to book for one day a week. Sorry, I'm going to take a quick drink because I'm getting dry and I need to preserve my throat. I'm back. So you're only allowed to book a slot for one day per week. Now, that doesn't matter if you're driving down from Wick to go to Edinburgh to do it, if you're flying in from the Shetlands, nothing is taken into consideration. The computer will only let you book one day in a week. So if you want to visit the three different reading areas, so there's the Rare Books Reading Room, there's the Reading Room and the Maps Room. It might be worth considering booking something from the Rare Books Reading Room, where you can actually get ordinary books from the ordinary reading room sent as well. That could be one day. Then staying over a weekend where you can visit the other places that you want to visit, and then book for the Monday. So you could book for a Friday and a Monday and do the Maps Room on a different day. I didn't think of that, so I went for 4 days during the week, which meant I wasn't able to visit the Maps Room, and it means I need to go back. So, as I say, things need to be very carefully coordinated. Now, when you arrive, there's a one-way system in process, so there is no cafe, no bookshop, no gift shop, nothing at the National Library of Scotland at the moment. It is literally only open for the reading rooms. And you're reading the slots for being in the library are staggered, and that's so there's not a big queue of people going in and out at the same time. So you can book in from 10:30 a.m. to 3:30 a.m., 10 to 3, 11 to 4, and I think it's 11:30 to 4:30. I think that's the last that you're allowed to do, but I might be wrong there because I booked for the 10:30 to 3:30 slot. When you get there, you're not allowed to take anything in. You need a reading card for a start, so you must have be registered with them for a reading card, which you can get at the library. But it would be helpful to register in advance and then tell them you're coming. It doesn't take long to get the actual card, so that's not a problem. You have to leave everything you've got in a locker. And again, ordinarily, you might have a pound, or you could go to the shop and get a pound. That doesn't happen anymore. You either need a pound coin with you, which a lot of people don't have, or they will lend you a token. And I got a token because I didn't have a pound coin on me. I don't use cash anymore. Now, these are things that you need to think about because all our habits are changing. Everything we are doing is changing, and very few people have cash on them. So you put your things in the locker. All you're allowed to take in is your laptop. And that's another, the reason I'm telling you this is you can book two different types of seat in the reading room. It can either be with a plug or without a plug. If you want to charge anything at all, you need to book one with a plug. But all the ones with plugs might be gone. And you might only be able to, on the day you're there, be able to get one without a plug. So these are things you need to think of in advance. I was fortunate. I got one with a plug, and you get a lot of space. So when I went in, you go into the library. You're allowed to take your laptop, a mobile phone, a notebook, and a pencil. No pens. And that's all you're allowed to take in with you. So you get a plastic bag to put them in. You go into the reading room, and you get a lot of space at the moment, and you very soon realise why you need to book slots, because there are very few slots available. There are a lot, but there are not as many as there usually are, because I was sat in a corner in a desk at the end, and the two desks opposite me and the desk to the left of me were blocked off. No one could sit there. So there are a lot less people can get in the reading rooms at one time. it is seriously reduced. So you vast understand why you have to book. And it's worth booking and doing it, because I got my books, I was able to focus, it was peaceful. But you're not allowed to take any drinks in. So if you want a drink, you need to leave the reading room. You can actually leave it with, you know, leave your stuff in there. It will be perfectly safe. I left my laptop and everything when I went to get a drink. And it was fine when I got back. I just went outside. I went to their water fountain, which again, you're not allowed to use it as a water fountain. You have to use one of the paper cups, which was fine. I had some water and I went back in. If you want lunch, you now need to leave the actual building itself. There is nowhere to eat lunch in the whole building. So you need to leave. I was fine. I'd had a big breakfast. But again, things you need to think about in advance, because everything is different. Everything takes longer than you think it is going to. Even just getting in, you need to be you need to tell them your name. You need to, and they will make sure that you're booked in for that. Now, I haven't been to the British Library, but I'm going to talk a bit about the British Library again, because things have changed slightly. As I say, I haven't been to the British Library. I'm hoping to go later in the year, but not quite at the moment. I'm just going to take another drink before I start on the British Library. There we are, we're back. So the British Library has literally just opened again, and you are allowed to book a slot. Now, you need a reader pass, and the reader's pass, they'll send that accept any, even if they're expired, as long as they expired after March 2020. So that's important to know. The pass has to expired after March 2020. So that's the first thing that you need to know. The other thing you need to know is that you now need to set up a box office account, which is a separate, totally separate account to your reader account, because you do have a reader account for the National Library. But in order to book a slot, you need a box office account. So I haven't set up a box office account yet because I'm not quite going down to London yet. But remember, this is things you need to remember in advance. You can't think at the last minute, oh, I'm going to visit the British Library and then just expect everything to be normal, because it isn't. Now, I said there were three reading rooms in the National Library of Scotland. There are numerous reading rooms in the British Library. So you need to think about what you actually want to book and where you want to book, because the National Library... the British Library is not only just in St Pancras, but also in Boston Spa. So St Pancras, the reading rooms are the Asian and African Studies, Business and IP Centre, Humanities 1, Humanities 2, Manuscripts, Maps, the Newsroom, Rare Books and Music, Science 2, Science 3, and Social Sciences. There are also public desks and a members' room. Now, before, you could tip up, you could write in the cafe if you wanted to. You could write at the public desks without booking. You usually did have to book the books for the reading rooms in advance. It's the same as the National Library of Scotland. You need to book them in advance so that they're there when you get them. But I don't know what the process is when you get there now. So I'm saying, the reason I'm telling you all of this, it is well worth... looking at the library carefully and making sure you've got all your ducks in a row, as they say, that your military campaign is squeaky clean, so that everything is coordinated and there where you want it. Now, in Edinburgh, at the National Library of Scotland, the books are actually physically on the desk number that you have booked when you arrive. So that was amazing. It was really good. I just went to my desk. All the books I wanted were there. And it was phenomenal. It was easy. I could get started. There was no drama. I wasn't hunting for a desk. I wasn't hunting for a desk with a plug or anything like that. So just check if you have to do that at St Pancras. In Boston Spa, they have two different reading rooms. One is the Boston Spa reading room and the other is the Boston Spa newsroom. So, and that's in Yorkshire. So if that's closer to you and either of those are suitable, then it's well worth visiting. Now, once I started with the books, it was amazing. I had a fantastic day. I learned so much from the books I'd ordered. And thank goodness they were actually books that I needed, because I only ordered four, because I only had from 10:30 to 3:30, and I didn't have a lot of time. Now, in the past, you could actually leave the books with them, take them back to the desk and say you needed them the next day, and you could get them the next day. That's no longer possible because, of course, you have to wait another till the next week in order to get back into the reading rooms again. So it's really important to think about things like that and make sure that the books are really what you want. Now, they were. And unfortunately, you cannot guarantee that until you open the books. But do look them up. Do try and do some research to make sure you have the correct books that will help you researching your novel. I'm going to take another drink if it goes quiet for a nanosecond. And there we are, I'm back. So these are my hints and tips to you for doing research in the reading rooms at either the National Library of Scotland or the British Library at the moment. Make sure that you've got everything in place, and then you will have it's a very relaxed time when you get there. And it was phenomenal. And I could have gone back the next day and done a lot more research, but I couldn't. But I am going to go back to the MAPS room. So I might consider going over a weekend. I will do the MAPS room on the Friday. And then on the Monday, I will book a couple of the books out again and another couple of books that will help me. And I will do more research. Now, this was for historical research. But remember, it's not just historical books that they have in these libraries. They have every book that's ever been written in these libraries. So you can actually go and research more modern texts, more up-to-date texts, even if you're researching for a novel that you're doing now. So if you wanted to know the ins and outs of the sewerage system in Dundee, I'm sure there's a book about it, or the sewerage system in Scotland, or the sewerage system, or the history of the sewerage system. You must think I'm obsessed with sewage here. I'm not. But there will be books about them. And historical stuff might come into it, because if you're down the sewers and there's a killer dumping bodies in the sewers, sorry, I'm a crime writer, so my mind automatically goes towards dead bodies. So there's a killer dumping, or there's clues down there, and the police need to go down there for whatever reason, you might need to know why the sewer system is the way it is now and what is going on with it, or the underground system, or anywhere else you can think of, you know, electricity substations, an oil rig. You may not want to buy a book on it, but you can go to these places and you can research any amount of books that you want to research for your book. So it is well worth thinking about the National Library of Scotland and the British Library, even if you're not writing historical books. So next, I also wanted to book Surgeons Hall Museum. Now, Surgeons Hall Museum is basically, it's based around it's in the old Surgeons Hall where medical students used to train. And I learned all sorts of amazing things there. Now, I needed to do it because I'm writing a book about a young man, Thomas Graham, who went to medical school there. And he went to medical school and became a doctor, then joined the Royal Navy. So I went there just thinking I would learn about the medicine of the time, what diseases were prevalent, what sort of training he would have. But do you know what? I was blown away because I learnt all sorts of quirky facts there. And I also learnt all sorts of quirky facts in the books I was reading. It was unbelievable. The things that I can bring into my writing are amazing. Now, did you know that in the early 19th century, that 95% of all doctors trained in Britain trained at the Surgeons Hall. They trained at the medical school in Edinburgh, which was the first medical school in the UK. And in the early 1800s, every single person, every single doctor who joined the military trained at Edinburgh. 100% of all military doctors trained in Edinburgh at Surgeons Hall. I was blown away by the facts and figures I heard there, but it also let me think about the medicine of the time. Now, you may be thinking, well, I'm writing contemporary books and I don't need to know about the medicine in times gone by. Well, you might, because we're in the middle of a pandemic at the moment. You might be talking about someone who's saying, I'm fed up with this pandemic. And their grandmother might say, oh, I remember the Spanish flu. And you might want to research the Spanish flu. And then she might say, but it wasn't just the Spanish flu that was going on then. We had this, we had that. You don't know how lucky you are that you've got all these medicines, that things have moved forward, that you've got the NHS. So it is really worth exploring things like this. Don't dismiss them out of hand just because you're not writing historical books. And again, I had to book it in. It does say on the website that you're booked in for an hour, but you don't have to book Surgeons Hall. I did book because I was travelling from Dundee to Edinburgh, so I had to make sure that it wasn't full on the day I went. It's not at the moment because there's not loads of tourists around. But on a day when there's loads of tourists, when the tourists come back, you could find it difficult to get in. So I needed to book to make sure I would physically get in, which I did. And again, you need to do all the usual things. You need to use a mask. It says that you're booked in for an hour. They leave you for as long as you want in there. And I got to see things, and seeing them as well as reading about them brings it to life. So I got to see the sort of anatomy lecture theatre that my young man would have sat in while he was having his anatomy lectures. And I have his anatomy notebooks, his original anatomy notebooks, the copies of them. But I have them. And he would have sat in that same lecture theatre that I was sitting in, and he would have written those notebooks in a lecture theatre like that, in Surgeons Hall. And I was just blown away by how I felt closer to him and how I felt I knew him better because I'd done this. So I know I'm going away a bit, but I'm trying to explain why researching your novel, doing different things, will help you. So the last thing I'm going to talk about, what I wanted to do was I wanted to go to the Scottish National Portrait Gallery. Now, the Scottish National Portrait Gallery is worth going to on numerous accounts. First of all, the building itself is stunning. It is stunning. The paintings that are on the walls inside are artwork in themselves. The murals on the wall and the ceilings of this museum are outstanding. So it's worth going just for that. But in terms of research, I was able to look at paintings that were done of people throughout history. And I could see how things changed. I could see what people looked like. I could see what clothes they wore. I could see what was in the background, how they would pose for paintings in those days, which gave you an idea of the structure of the time, a flavour of society of the time. Were they being painted on their own, or were they being painted in a group? Why was it a group? All that sort of things. It made me look at how fashions changed. Did men wear makeup in those days? And they did. This was a thing, and these are things, little hints and little ideas you can get that will help to bring your book to life. Now, I did book again. I booked a ticket to go into the National Portrait Gallery, Scottish National Portrait Gallery, but it took me a long time to get in because there were some other people that hadn't booked, and I was queuing up. But again, I wanted to make sure I could get in. Again, it said you could have an hour, but they weren't bothered about that. You could stay for as long as you want. And I'm not entirely sure how they would have been. They would have been monitoring that, to be honest, because nobody was monitoring you. But it is a one-way system, so you don't have the option. People are keeping an eye out. You don't have the option to think, actually, I didn't quite take in the painting in the previous gallery. I'd better go back. You will not be allowed to go back. You have to go forwards. That's the only way you can do it. So you'd have to go through the whole one-way system and then start from scratch to get back to the painting that you missed. And it's what I took lots and lots of notes while I was there. I took lots and lots of notes at Sergeant's Hall Museum. You are allowed to take photographs in the Scottish Portrait Gallery. You are not allowed to take any photographs whatsoever in Sergeant's Hall. So you must take a notebook and pencil with you. Now, you are never allowed to take photographs in Sergeant's Hall, because the whole building comes under the Human Tissues Act, because there is real human tissue in there, because there are jars of organs and different things that had different diseases. So the whole building is covered by that. You're not allowed to take pictures anywhere in Surgeons Hall Museum. So that's worth bearing in mind. Take a notebook and a pen or a pencil when you go to Surgeons Hall Museum. But I also did it when I went to the National Portrait Gallery, the Scottish National Portrait Gallery, so I could take notes of all the quirky things. But I also took some photos. So that brings me to an end. You've probably gathered to summarise that you need to stay for longer in order to make the most of it all, if you have to stay. If you happen to live in Edinburgh or London, you're quids in, really, because you can just go the next week, or you can go in different days. But you need to work it all out if you're coming from outside the area. As I say, the next time I'm going to work it all out over a weekend, because I can do other things at the weekend and use the National Library on the Friday and the Monday, which takes me over 2 weeks. And I'm hoping they do mean two different weeks and not you have to wait another week before you can book. And that is something I will have to look into before I actually try to book anything, because I need to know that. It's important, because I don't want to stay in Edinburgh for an entire week in a hotel just so I can get back to the library. So these are all things that you need to think about. I hope it's helped you. I hope I haven't put you off, because I shouldn't put you off, because it's absolutely phenomenal. It is absolutely well worth doing. And I would advise you to look into doing it, and you will be amazed, absolutely amazed, at how much you will learn about your subject. So thank you for listening once again. I hope you've enjoyed the show, and I will see you again next week with another fabulous show. That brings us to the end of another show. It was really good to have you on the show with me today. I'm Wendy H. Jones, and you can find me at wendyhjones.com. You can also find me on Patreon, where you can support me for as little as $3 a month, which is less than the price of a tea or coffee. You go to patreon.com/WendyHJones. I'm also Wendy H. Jones on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest. Thank you for joining me today, and I hope you found it both useful and interesting. Join me next week when I will have another cracking guest for you. Until then, have a good week, and keep writing, keep reading, and keep learning.